Welcome to the Horror Writers Podcast, where the pen is mightier than the gore. Join me, your host Jay Thorne, as I discuss writing and publishing horror using strategies that work for all genres. The Horror Writers Podcast keeps it lean, delivering concise information to the aspiring author. This is episode 2 of the Horror Writers Podcast, and with this episode, I officially double my output on podcasts. So that's quite a rate. I don't know if I can keep that up, but I'm glad you're back with me for a second go here. The show's topic today, 5 things you must do before publishing a multi-author box set. This topic really is a follow-up to a guest appearance and interview I did for the Self-Publishing Roundtable podcast. Those folks that run that, Trish and Wade and Carl and David and everyone that was part of that, they were so gracious to have me on, and they wanted to have me on because of the box sets that I've been managing, and they've been having a nice bit of success and getting some exposure. And so I went on the show in the recent past, I don't know when you're going to be listening to this, but weeks. And I talked a lot about box sets and what to do with them and why we were doing them. But I forgot, and I just didn't have a chance to get into the logistics of it. And I feel like for authors that are interested in putting together a box set, there's some really small details, some minutiae that can make or break the project. And so I thought, as a courtesy to the Self-Publishing Roundtable listeners and anyone else that was listening to that, I wanted to follow up with something. And I realized that the aspiring author, the person that's just starting out, you know, putting together a box set of any kind, whether it's their own material or someone else's, seems like a very, very distant future. And it may not be there when you get there. As I said on the roundtable, this is a short-term tactic. It's based on collaboration, which is an evergreen strategy, but who knows what Amazon will do with box sets, whether they'll continue to allow them, whether they will pull the plug, whether they will come up with their own sort of KDP hybrid option of allowing you to compile your own with other authors. Who knows what they're going to do? So box sets may or may not be here for a long time, but I kind of treat it as a temporary thing. It's a great thing right now, but there's no guarantee. So if you're in that position and you are thinking about a box set, specifically a multi-author box set, which has some more complexities to it than sort of a single author box set, I'm going to hit you with the 5 things you must do or possibly know before you launch this. So in no particular order, with no emphasis placed on their order. Number 1 is you need to have some type of basic agreement that will allow you to publish someone else's work through your own Amazon KDP account. So there's some type of bot that Amazon runs that when a new title is published, it looks for, I don't know if it's metadata, I don't know if it searches through the text, but for example, this is the N3, the most recent box that I put up. As soon as it hit the review stage in KDP, I received an email from Amazon asking me if I had the rights to publish a Joe Conrath title, which most people probably don't. But in this case, Joe's Timecaster was in the box set. He had signed off on it. And so I was able to send Amazon a copy of that agreement. And within an hour, it was through and published. And each box set that I've put up that includes multi-authors, Amazon has asked me if I had permission for one or more of the authors' titles inside that box set. So you absolutely must have a written agreement. And it can be very simple. I'll put a link in the show notes to the one I use. You can use it as a template. It's not a binding contract. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not providing legal advice. It's just a simple agreement that says the author that owns the rights, the intellectual property, is giving you permission to publish their work. And so they sign off on it, and it's really simple. Now, I know a lot of people use online tools for this. You can go old school. You can have people sign a printed document and fax it. It gets really messy, and it's a hassle. I would strongly recommend going digital, and there is a choice that you have. A lot of people use Adobe's Echo Sign. It's not cheap. I don't know what the going rate is. I think it's somewhere around $15 a month. I found a great, great site called Docracy. Again, I'll put this in the show notes, docracy.com. And Docracy is, as they state on their site, the web's only open collection of legal contracts and the best way to negotiate and sign documents online. Really, what it does is it allows you to upload a custom contract or grab one from their open source database and have people digitally sign it. And it falls under the Digital Signature Act, and so people can log on to Docracy. They create a free account. They type in their name. That's as good as their signature. Both parties get a PDF. I download those to my computer, and I wait for Amazon to email me. And then as soon as they do, I send them along, and you're covered. So if you're going to do a multi-author collaborations or box set of any kind, Docracy would be a great way to go. So that's number one. Number two, I would strongly recommend you create a simple spreadsheet, maybe even from your KDP reports. You need to be able to, if you're going to use your own KDP account, if you have an LLC or an S Corp, you probably have this covered. If you're like me and you're still kind of new to this and you you have it incorporated, you're probably using one KDP account. And again, I'm not a legal expert. I've had a CPA tell me that as long as I pay the taxes on the royalties and then distribute royalties to other authors as independent contractors, that would work. But again, I'm not providing legal advice here. Make sure you check into that on your own. But just to calculate the royalty split, if you had a spreadsheet, Amazon in their reports will give you the exchange rate, and they'll give you the number of units sold. So no matter what the check is that you get from Amazon, if you have the exchange rate and the number of units that you sold for your multi-author box set, you can easily figure out how much goes where. And for the international sales, because Amazon does that conversion for you, so they'll convert the euro to the dollar and then pay you in dollars, you don't have to worry about international exchange rates as well. You can just add them all up, divide by the number of authors in the box, and you'll know how much each person is supposed to get. So that's number two, create a spreadsheet for royalties. Number three, formatting. This is a really complicated one. What you have to figure out first is how much are you willing to do on your own, or can you do on your own? And formatting a multi-author box set is pricey because it's somewhat complicated. It's not as simple as uploading a Word document for an individual title. I mean, it can be done that way, but it's much more time intensive. And as I said on the Roundtable podcast, there's a way that you can create sort of master HTML document and use that as your quote unquote book. And then you can unpack the MOBI files from other authors and link to those. And so you're sort of making a book out of books. And in that way, you preserve all of the internal formatting of everyone else's book and all of that. But if you don't even know what I'm talking about now, and that's fine if you don't, you may want to pay someone to do it, and it would be worth it to not have that hassle. However, if you understand some basic HTML and you're not afraid to kind of try it out, I have a book on all the major platforms called Formatting for Kindle. It will give you some of the basics on how to go from a Word document to a formatted MOBI file without a lot of technical know-how. It is free everywhere except Amazon. I've been trying to ask Amazon to permafree it, to mark it to zero. They won't do it. Maybe if you nudge them, they will. So it's 99 cents on Amazon, but it's free everywhere else. So that's, you know, Smashwords, Kobo, Barnes & Noble, all of those, Apple, it's free on all of those. Help yourself to it. There's some examples in there. At least if you skim through that, it'll at least let you know if it's something you want to get into. It may be more time than it's worth based on your own level of expertise or knowledge. So at least that guide itself would give you some idea of where to go. So that's number three, have your formatting decided, or how you're going to do it decided. Number four, your cover and spines in your product description. I'm going to do more on both product description and cover in later podcasts. but there's a sort of a baseline standard for the multi-author box set, and that is the spines. So I don't, there's no rule on this. It's not, it's really a matter of taste, but from what I've seen, most professional looking multi-author box sets use the spine technique to show each title. So you'll get a 3D look, and I'll put some links to, in the show notes to This Is the End, those box sets. You can see how Glenn James, the guy that the author did the cover and helps me out with those box sets, you can see how he did it. But it's really simple. You use one spine in that 3D cube type of cover image to display each author, whether it's their title or just their name. But the reason for that is that it's perceived value. I mean, it's real value, but it's also perceived value in that as a reader, instead of seeing a flat two-dimensional image with a bunch of names on it, or even I've seen some like Hollywood Squares types of covers, they're just not as effective. I don't think they have the same perceived value. So with the 3D spines as a cover image, you really get a sense, and you can see if there are seven books, you can see seven spines. I think it's much more effective. And product description, again, it's taste. It's a matter of taste. There's no right or wrong way to do it. Certainly utilizing some bolding techniques, summarizing reviews, that's not a bad idea. By title, it's a little extra work. You have to go dig it out and post them, and they change all the time, but at least give people a sense of what's in the books and how they've been reviewed. So using spines on your cover image is number four. And the last one, number five, is, and this is my opinion. Again, there's no right or wrong way to do this, but rather than accepting submissions to a multi-author box set, I asked for them, I solicited. So, and how did I make that determination? A number of factors. Really, I think what the key for the multi-author box set is not necessarily how many books an author sells or how popular they are or how many Twitter followers they have. I think what you need is you need a group of authors that are risk takers. They're agile. They're not afraid to try something new. They are not they're not afraid to promote or cross promote. You want someone that is actively marketing their book. If you find an author, it might be a great author, but they are not actively promoting. They're not going to help the box set. If they're not doing it for their own books, they're not going to help the box set. And when I say promoting, that's going to be whatever that means for you. I try not to promote much on social media. Other people have great success with that. But just in general, you're looking for authors that are very active, who value the idea of promoting together. And honestly, email response time is a good indicator for me anyways. And I said this on the roundtable as well. People get a ton of email, and some people process it better than others. But what I've found is that if I am asking an author to be in a box set, if they are really excited about that opportunity and they want to be part of it, they usually respond very quickly. If they are somewhat hesitant, if they're unsure, maybe they don't trust me because they don't know me. And why would you trust someone that's cold emailing you, right? But if they don't know you, they don't trust you, they're not going to respond as quickly. And that's probably a good indication that they're just not ready yet. So you want to find those authors that are ready, because they're going to help your cause. And then a little tiny thing, probably not a shocker to everyone. Once you have those people assembled, I've created private Facebook groups, and it's a little bit easier than using email, just because people get notifications on their phone. They can kind of browse through. If there's any type of threaded conversation, it's easier to see that in a private Facebook group than it is in email. So number five would be solicit rather than accept submissions, and use a private Facebook group for communications after that. So there you have it. Five things I believe you must do before publishing a multi-author box set. Some of the nitty-gritty details that I didn't remember to mention on the self-publishing roundtable podcast. So hopefully that helps. Again, I'd like to thank you for listening. The response from episode one was great. It's keeping me motivated. If you feel so inclined to leave a review on iTunes, that would be much appreciated. If you'd like to make any suggestions on future topics, you can hit me up on my contact tab on the website, jthorn.net. You can also leave a comment in the YouTube comments area. I look and read all of those. And you can sign up for my mailing list at my website, and you'll get periodic updates about other things, including the Horror Writers Podcast. So thanks again, and I will see you next time.